Our first reading is from Luke 4, verses 16 to 21. So Luke 4, verses 16 to 21. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord.
Second reading is Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 43, which can be found on page 1053 in the Bibles in the pews. Luke 18, 35 to 43. A blind beggar receives his sight. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Heads and pray. Lord God Almighty, light of the world, may the words I speak and the words others hear be your words. Please let them speak into each of our lives today. Amen. Please take a seat. That passage in Luke 18, so you might want to have your Bibles open on page 1053. "What can I get you? How can I help? What would you like? What can I do for you?" These are all questions that, probably like me, you've heard quite a few times this week or in the last weeks. "What can I get you?" I heard as I tried to choose between all those lovely breads they have in the bakehouse. "How can I help?" I heard when I popped into Slade School to ask them if they could advertise our Christmas Eve services. "What would you like?" is at the moment often followed by "What would you like for Christmas?" as I speak to various friends and relations in the run-up to Christmas. "What do you want me to do for you?" That's the question at the heart of our passage today. Jesus, on his way into Jericho, is sidetracked by a blind man shouting. He stops, orders the man to come near, and asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" An amazing question, if you think about it. Jesus, God Almighty, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man answers, "Lord, I want to see." And a miracle occurs. The blind man receives his sight back. But how? Why? And what are the consequences of this miracle? I'd like to suggest today three answers to those questions. The blind man receives his sight back because he asks the right person. The blind man receives his sight back because he gives the right answer. And the blind man, in receiving his sight back, has the right outcome as a consequence. Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man asks the right person. Notice in verse 36, he asks the crowd, "Who's going by?" And they answer, "Jesus of Nazareth." Yet when the blind man calls out to Jesus, he calls him Jesus, son of David. Those of us that have been doing the Advent book, will know that being from Nazareth was a bit like saying you're from nowhere town, somewhere small, insignificant and backward. But somehow, the blind man knew that there was a lot more to Jesus of Nazareth than that. And when he calls out to him, he uses a royal term, Jesus, son of David, which is another way of calling Jesus the Messiah that they'd all been waiting for, God's chosen king who will fulfill the prophecies. What do you want me to do for you? I wonder, as we approach Christmas and the new year with all the excitement, busyness, stress, worries, and questions that that season holds, are we looking to the right person for the answer to this question? I was reading a post on Tunbridge Mum's Facebook page, which is fascinating if you want to know anything about being a mum in Tunbridge, but from a mother whose six-year-old son did not believe in Father Christmas anymore. And she was asking for advice on how she could keep the magic of Christmas alive for them this year. That mum was looking to the wrong person for the magic of Christmas. Father Christmas doesn't bring the magic of Christmas. Jesus, God himself, coming and dwelling amongst us does. Jesus is the right answer to our worries and questions. Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" Secondly, having asked the right person for help, the blind man gives the right answer to Jesus' question. Now, to most of us in this story, it seems a bit obvious. The man was blind. Of course he wanted to see again. But actually, when Jesus asked him that question, he might have wanted something else. He might have asked for money or friends or status or an easy life. Some of these things might have come with sight, but quite a few of them might not. It's sometimes difficult to answer, isn't it, the question, "What do you want me to give you for Christmas?" It depends partly on who's asking. Before I answer that question, I often consider kind of about how much I think they might be wanting to spend, or what they know about me, or if their taste is similar to mine. I know quite a lot of you often have been very kind at commenting on some of the clothes I've worn when I've been up front here. And often I've said to you, "Oh, they were a Christmas present from my mother-in-law." I never worry about asking her for clothes because I know she's got similar taste to mine. But there's some people I might not ask for clothes because I'm not quite sure what I might end up with. What do you want me to do for you? If the person asking is Jesus, son of David, what might you answer? Well, the blind man looked inside himself for that answer. He took an honest look at where he was weakest, at where he was poorest, and gave him his answer. "Lord, I want to see." Jesus asks us, "What do you want me to do for you? I wonder, when we really look inside ourselves, when we really think about where we're poorest, what do we see? Some of us here will be facing material poverty and the knowledge that we haven't quite got enough to afford much this Christmas. Some of us will be facing the poverty of ill health or loneliness or despair or the absence of a loved one. Some of us will be facing the poverty of time, of having too much to do and too little time to do it in. And some of us will be facing the poverty of relationships, the lack of someone who really knows and cares about us. As we look inside ourselves and see where our poverty lies, that poverty is the right answer to Jesus' question. The right answer to what do you want me to do for you? Thirdly, having asked the right person for help and given the right answer to Jesus' question, the story ends with the right outcome. The blind man receives his sight, follows Jesus, praising God, and when all the people saw it, they also praise God. Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus meets the blind man in his poverty and transforms blindness into sight. Light comes into darkness. And yet there's so much more to this verse than just the mere healing of a blind man. The blind man is healed and immediately follows Jesus, praising God. He doesn't just sit around enjoying being able to see or even rush around showing people what had happened to him. That would have been my temptation, I think. He gets up and follows Jesus, praising God. And we know, because we know the end of this story, that following Jesus at this point means following Jesus to Jerusalem and following Jesus to the cross. But the blind man doesn't follow Jesus silently or half-heartedly. He follows Jesus praising God. And this has an amazing transforming effect on the crowd. They too begin to praise God. The right outcome is not merely the right outcome for one blind man, but the transformation of a whole crowd. A crowd of lives changed from grumbling self-importance that we see in the first few verses to praising God Almighty. This week, we will hopefully welcome hundreds of visitors into our Christmas church services. Hundreds of people will walk through those doors at the back and catch a glimpse of what following Jesus looks like for different people that make up our church family. I hope and pray that they will see us glorifying and praising God, thanking him for coming and dwelling amongst us. But let's not limit our expectations. The right consequence for our church here in Tunbridge isn't just that visitors will see Jesus' followers praising. It isn't just that they will experience Jesus' warmth and welcome. It isn't even just that they will catch a glimpse of the real magic of Christmas. It's surely, too, that they too, like that crowd near Jericho, will walk out of here praising God. So that this Christmas, the streets and homes of Tunbridge will be filled with praise for Jesus, God Almighty, who dwells with us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you today knowing that you are the right person to come to. Jesus asks us, "What do you want me to do for you? Where is each of us poor today?" Lord Jesus, we bring you our poverty and lay it before you, knowing that that's the right answer to your question. What do you want me to do for you today? Come, heal our poverty and enable us to follow you wholeheartedly, praising you and causing others to praise and glorify your name. We ask this in your name. Amen.